Live and local, here for you, Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. Effective last night, we're full gear for high school sports across South Dakota. All seven divisions now playing in South Dakota high school football. Huron Tigers had their season opener last night at Tiger Stadium. An exciting game that goes down to the final seconds, but T area never trailed, but had to hold off a late rally. And they defeat the Huron Tigers 27-26. Huron scored with 13 seconds left to pull within one, then missed the two-point conversion. Colt McNeil was 16 of 35 passing for 328 yards and three touchdowns. Gavin Moting had eight receptions for 158 yards and a touchdown. C.J. Ganey, five receptions and 137 yards, two touchdowns. Cashin Caudill had 23 carries, 59 yards rushing, and he scored a touchdown for the Tigers. Our game here on KOKK last night, it was number four Fulton and top-ranked Hitchcock Tulare, a 9B matchup. Boy, Fulton took care of business, though. They built the lead early, 26-0 at the half, and cruised to a 40-0 shutout win over the Patriots. Fulton got three touchdowns rushing from Garrett Kramer. Lane Cotton had two touchdowns for the Trojans. For Hitchcock Tulare, Eric Solomon had 22 carries for 122 yards rushing. Wolsey-Wessington made a statement. They knocked off defending champion, top-ranked 9A Gregory, 48-32. The Warbirds scored right at the end of the first half to take a 28-20 lead into the halftime locker room and never looked back as they picked up the win. Quarterback Caleb Richmond had one touchdown rushing, three touchdowns passing. Moshe Richmond 8 yards, Colin Hughes 30 yards, and also one to Peyton Rainford. Tate French, Gabriel Casey each had a touchdown rushing for the Warbirds. Stanley County knocked off number two, 9B, DeSmit, 38-30. For DeSmit, Britt Carlson had three touchdowns rushing. Other area scores, Mount Vernon Plankinton defeated Miller Highmore Herald, 52-19. Miller Highmore Herald's Derek Krugeman had 81 yards in the air and two touchdown passes. Colby Colda scored for the Rustlers. And Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central took care of Scotland Minnow, winning 59-19. Groton defeated Redfield 56-6, Jones County 56, Sunshine Bible 6, and Freeman Academy defeated Iroquois Lake Preston 50-0. That's our area scores. A look at Class 11AA scores last night. Watertown shut out Brookings 33-0. Pierce shut out Aberdeen 32-0. Yankton, a 42-0 shutout on Mitchell. Douglas, their first win in nearly 3 years. They defeat Belle Fouche 34-16. Sturgis 20, Rapid City Central 7. And Spearfish defeated St. Thomas More 51-27. I believe that was Spearfish's first ever football win over St. Thomas More. 11AAA, Washington defeated Stevens 27-7. Jefferson and Harrisburg went overtime 28-21. Jefferson wins. Lincoln rolled over Sioux Falls Roosevelt 43-7. That is the rundown of high school football from last night. Some AA volleyball. Mitchell defeated Sturgis in 4, and Aberdeen swept Rapid City Central. Pier defeated Rapid City Stevens in 4. Boys golf yesterday, Huron Tigers hosted the Huron Invitational at Broadland Creek. Jake Olson of Watertown, medalist with a 67. Tayton Mounty of O'Gorman, runner-up at 71. For the Huron Tigers, Aiden Zaveski had an 86. Jack Bells, Riley Jankert each had 115s. Colton Ogle a 118. Team title goes to Watertown, 3 strokes better than O'Gorman. Cross country, Huron Tigers opened the season. Colignan Invitational in Madison yesterday. For the Huron girls, Josie Vlieger was 6th overall. Tatum Peterson, 18th. For the Huron boys, TJ Lean was 9th. Tegan Lean, 12th. Angelo Medina, 17th. And James Weir placed 18th. Boys soccer yesterday, Belle Fouche defeated James Valley Christian 8-4. That's the rundown of our scores from yesterday. A look at the schedule for today. Huron Tiger Volleyball opens their season. They're hosting the Huron Invitational, two courts at the arena, one court at the middle school gym. Volleyball starts at 9 this morning. We'll run into the late afternoon. Huron has four matches. They'll play all of theirs at the arena on the south court. Right away at 9 o'clock this morning, Huron will play Douglas. They'll take a break, then play Class B Northwestern. Third game of the day will be Huron and Brookings. Then they'll wrap it up on the last match of the day against Sturgis. Again, starts at 9, but a rolling schedule after the second matches are complete. And they'll just keep the day moving. Also on the schedule for today, volleyball, James Valley Christians at a tournament in Flandreau, and Hitchcock Tulares at the Esteline Hendricks tournament. Here on Tiger Cheer and Dance opens their season. They'll be the last Tiger teams to begin their season. They're at the Aberdeen Invitational today. Girls tennis here on Tigers travel to Brookings for a jamboree. They'll have duels with Aberdeen and Yankton. And boys soccer, St. Thomas More is at James Valley Christian. And that's the rundown of our local schedule. Quick note from Huron Junior Athletics, second, third, and fourth grade flag football registration will be this coming Tuesday beginning at 5:30 at Pepsi Fields. Registration fee is $50. Scholarships available. Practices will begin on Tuesday, September 5th at 6:30. Practices and games for flag football will be Tuesdays and Thursdays at Pepsi Fields. Minnesota Twins continue their series at Target Field with the Texas Rangers. The Twins get out the bats last night and smoke the Rangers. With the recap, here's Corey Provis.
After a dramatic 7-5 victory on Thursday night, Game 2, Twins and the Rangers back at Target Field on a beautiful Friday evening in downtown Minneapolis. Sonny Gray for the Twins and Dane Dunning going for the Rangers. And Sonny, you wouldn't know it based on wins and losses. He has pitched so well this season, and rarely has Gray been given run support. Well, he got run support and then some in the opening inning. Rangers did not score in the first. The Twins, though, they certainly did. It began with being passive. It began with forcing Dane Dunning into the zone. He was shaky from the outset. He walked four men in the first inning, and the Twins then capitalized thanks to Matt Walder. And the 1-1 line to right field. That's a base hit down the line. That's going to find the corner. One run scores. Two runs score. Here comes Lewis racing around third base. He will score. Walder's at third. It's a first inning. Bases clearing. Three-run triple. And the Twins strike first. It's 3-0. First career triple for Walner. He brought in all three. Twins would add a fourth run. It was a 4-0 game. The Rangers got a run back in the second on a Mitch Garver home run. Twins stayed pretty quiet for a while until they opened things back up with a 6-run seventh inning. Home runs from Correa and also Eddie Julian put this one away. They would add two more in the eighth inning en route to a 12-2 victory in Game 2 of this series. 12 runs on 12 hits. The Twins hit more home runs. They've hit now 39 home runs since the All-Star break. That leads all American League teams, including Kepler, his team leading 21st of the season. Julian a three-run shot. Correa went deep as well. And Gray pitched great. And the Twins win 12-2. From Target Field, I'm Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Rangers have now lost 8 in a row. Game 3 of the series is tonight. Joe Ryan coming off the injured list. He will start for the Twins pregame 5:30 this afternoon on KOKK. Dakota Sports Saturday will begin at about 10 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. We'll visit with Joey Mitchell, the monthly update from the Norby Center for Recreation. We'll visit with Rachel Carey, head tennis coach of the Huron Tigers, Tyann Ulmer, head volleyball coach for Huron, and then visit with Drew Strand, head football coach, on last night's exciting game at Tiger Stadium. That's your Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up this morning. For Dakota Sports on KOKK, I'm Jeff Duffy.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Don't Spill the Beans now has three convenient locations in Huron. In the Fair City Foods parking lot, at their downtown Center Plaza location, and the new one in Coburn's parking lot. Don't Spill the Beans offers specialty coffee and food at all locations and gifts and decor at their downtown location. Don't Spill the Beans is a proud sponsor of the Huron Tigers and the Tiger Pregame Report. Don't Spill the Beans, three locations in Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Time for a monthly update for Norby Center for Recreation. Joey Mitchell, the director at the Norby, joins us here, getting set for the month of September. And Joey, first off here, boy, September, it just seems like it's a whole different community now. School's in session. You kind of shift gears now.
You're absolutely right, Jeff. As you can see, if you're driving through town at 8 o'clock in the morning now, just going to work or slightly before, you'll see the traffic intersections, the traffic alone in town with people going to schools. Here at the Norby Center, things do slow down a little bit during the day, but as soon as school's out at 3:15, we ramp right back up and it's busy. Kids are in and out the doors. We have a lot of activities coming up in September here. Karate starts September 11th, and that's for youth and adult. There's all sorts of beginner, advanced, so there's something for everyone there. If that's something that interests you, go ahead and just give us a shout at the desk. Other things, I guess, for basketball and volleyball, some skill camps coming up. Stephanie Cheddar joins us. She's a Huron Hall of Famer. Joins us on staff here and kind of does the volleyball camp for us, so that's nice. You can watch our Facebook for the official release on dates and more details on those. Otherwise, we have swimming lessons. That's a big question we've gotten. Swimming lessons won't happen until October, just kind of because of we have to do a pool painting project. The pool has to get sandblasted. It hasn't been sandblasted in 24 years. So we got to sandblast it, we'll prime, we'll paint it, we'll refill it, we'll go back to having a good time with all the fitness classes, pool parties, birthday parties. There's an assortment of different things.
Well, I'll just talk about that pool then. I would imagine that means the pool will be closed for a while.
You are right, and the date I do not know yet, but as soon as I do, I'm going to get it out to everyone. We're kind of just at the hands of the contractor. Like I said, it was a little bigger project than we originally had anticipated, so there has been a few delays, but we'll do the best we can to notifying everybody as soon as we know. It does look like it's going to be right after the fair, and it'll be down 3-4 weeks.
And, you know, like I said, you just kind of shift gears here. Things are a little different. One thing I imagine is constant, though, is pickleball. We've been talking about each time we visited here because, boy, I think it's even more popular now than it was when we started doing these visits 2 months ago.
You're absolutely right. And I'm going to give the city a little credit on that. I know Chad Schroeder has been working his butt off down there. He got some new pickleball courts put in over at Rocket Slide Park, their Prospect Park across from Madison. There's 6 brand new outdoor courts, which are awesome. You know, and when people play outdoor courts, it just expands the sport more. And unfortunately, we do live in South Dakota, so we are going to probably see winter and snow. So hopefully they'll continue playing and come indoors here at the Norby Center. The courts are blue, just like the ones down there, so there shouldn't be too much of a transition.
You know, and again, pickleball, and we I think we spent a little time on this each of these visits, but again, in layman's terms, it's basically a full-size ping pong. It's like halfway between tennis and ping pong.
You're exactly correct. It's life-size ping pong, as ping pong is life-size, but you're standing on the table. That's the best explanation for short synopsis anyways. If you want more details on that, just go ahead and stop by about any day of the week around noon. There's groups from 8 to 12, 16 players that just show up, play over their lunch breaks, even extended times, in the evenings on Fridays after 5:30. Otherwise, you can just call and ask the desk, and we can definitely help work you through that.
And overall, if people got questions or anything else they need to know, there's different avenues, as you've said a couple of times. Just call the Norby Center, and I think keep the website and the Facebook page updated quite frequently as well.
You're absolutely right. You can give us a call at 605-352-2627. I can help you out with anything. Otherwise, the front desk, people answering, they have answers to. Our Facebook page does get updated daily along with the website. Facebook is probably our biggest communicator. People shoot us messages and comments on there, and we try to get back within the hour. So,
Joey Mitchell, director of the Norby Center for Recreation, our monthly update as they're kind of shifting gears with school in session and what goes on there. Again, for more information, they do update their Facebook page daily. You can also look or check out their website as well. We'll talk a lot of here on Tigers. We have tennis, volleyball, and football all coming up here on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Norby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Norby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Norby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Don't Spill the Beans now has three convenient locations in Huron. In the Fair City Foods parking lot, at their downtown Center Plaza location, and the new one in Coburn's parking lot. Don't Spill the Beans offers specialty coffee and food at all locations and gifts and decor at their downtown location. Don't Spill the Beans is a proud sponsor of the Huron Tigers and the Tiger Pregame Report. Don't Spill the Beans, three locations in Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. Talk here on Tiger Girls Tennis with head coach Rachel Carey. The Tigers actually on a week layoff here, which I think everybody was looking for because you've been going very hard here to start the season. We'll get to that coming up. Coach, first off, though, numbers are really good for here on Tiger Girls Tennis.
Yes, we have close to 60 girls out for tennis this year, which is fantastic, and just a great group of girls working very hard, and just a lot of fun, and really excited about the sport of tennis and being out here playing. So it's definitely a sport that is seeing a lot of growth in Huron, which is awesome.
Now, when we compare to last year, you did lose basically half your lineup. There's three seniors that not only started last year, but I think had been in that varsity lineup for several years. So you knew coming in, we're gonna have to mix and match a little bit to see who should go where.
Yeah, definitely. We had a team for, you know, two or three years that were girls that had played varsity tennis for a number of years, and so had a lot of experience, which is great and a lot of fun. But, you know, they obviously become seniors and graduate and move on, but have some young ladies returning, Ann Claire Rubish and Lizzie Heinen and Ann Hook, who are having a fantastic start to the season, and then some younger gals who played all summer and were excited about getting a spot on the varsity team. Segle, Pa Claire Moo, Madeline Kleinsaucer, and then Shaylee Saw. And those girls are, while they don't maybe have a ton of experience, they're learning a lot and playing really well. And I'm just super excited about how our season has gone so far.
Well, those first three you mentioned, well, you got number one, number two back, and Hook has to play a different role in the lineup. But imagine you depend on those three. Those are the girls that have been through it. Those are the girls got kind of let to lead those other three on.
Yes, definitely. And they're doing a fantastic job of that. Ann Claire has played the number one spot for a number of years. Lizzie's played number two for a number of years. And then those two pair up for the number one doubles team. And that's a huge part of it. I mean, the experience that they bring is huge at that number one doubles spot. Ann Hook has played a varsity spot for a number of years, too. She's moved up to that number three spot. But she has varsity tennis experience, and so that's obviously helped her moving up in that lineup.
Then go to the bottom of the lineup there. You said, you know, they are inexperienced, but they have been playing, and sounds like they like to play tennis. They played all summer.
Yes, they love the sport, and they are working so hard. Segle, who is playing number four for us, and Pa Claire, who's playing number five, they spent a lot of time on the tennis courts this summer, and I know because my parents live across the street from Winter Park, which is where we're playing this season, and I saw them out here every day, almost. Chaylee Saw is another one who spent a lot of time out here with them, not only playing the three of them together, but they were playing with a lot of the boys that were out here on the tennis courts. And then Madeline Kleinsaucer, who played number seven for me last year, she got to play a lot of tennis last year at that number seven spot. And so she has just tennis and match experience, which is huge. So we, even, you know, though they don't have a ton of experience, they're spending a lot of time on the court, which is what you need to do.
Let's review the early part of the season. And like I said, I think you had your first competition a week and a day after practice officially started. And then, boy, it was bam, bam, two, three matches there, or two, three events a week. Tell us the results, what you've seen so far.
Yeah, so far it's been great. Like, I didn't really know what to expect coming into this season with kind of a newer team, but they have just exceeded my expectations. I mean, they are doing really well. And yes, it has been a lot of tennis in a very short amount of time. I mean, I think going into last weekend, we had already played 10 or 11 matches, and so plus a tournament that we were in Madison. And so while it is a lot, I feel like it really prepares us for playing in hot weather. We're used to being out here. It just kind of forces you to get ready for the season. We are very much, you know, we enjoyed a week off prior to playing in Brookings. And so, yeah, now we're just kind of fine-tuning things and looking forward to the rest of the season.
We'll get to what's coming up today here shortly, but circumstances are different this year. We have that beautiful tennis complex we just opened 6 years ago, and you can't use it this fall.
Nope. Like I mentioned, we're playing at Winter Park, but it's actually worked out just fine. I am just so thankful that we still have the Winter Park tennis courts to be using right now. The city has been amazing with letting us utilize this facility and helping us with whatever we need. And it's kind of fun. This is where I grew up playing tennis. Very nice shade on a lot of the courts for some of those really hot days. And, you know, when the tennis courts are done out by the middle school and the high school, that is going to be incredible. That is going to be probably one of the nicest tennis complexes in the state. And so we're making this work. It's going really well. The girls have a great attitude about it. We're running a few different practice times, which has worked just fine. It's okay. And what's coming is just going to be incredible. And of course, we're looking forward to next season and being out there.
And the one big negative, and to me it is a huge negative, but I'm sure you're not going to look at it like that way completely. One home match. You had a duel with Rapid City Christian last week. That's the only time you're going to be able to play in Huron.
Yeah, for sure. That part of it is a little unfortunate. It did kind of work out well that this happened to be a tennis season where we didn't have a ton of home matches already. We always host those quads, but Mitchell is willing to take it this year, and Brookings is taking the other one, and they've just been super accommodating. I think everybody has kind of gone through tennis court expansion projects, and they get it, and we're just working together on it. I was glad that we at least got to have one home match and recognize Lizzie Heinen is a senior on the varsity team, and so we got to recognize her along with Joe Carrillo and Ella Stanfield and Deborah too. So we were still able to recognize our seniors, which is important. And we had a really good turnout, a really good home crowd that turned out for that match. So it's working out.
Today, you go to Brookings. You don't actually play Brookings. I don't know if that was the original thought or if this is a shuffling of the schedule, but you will see Yankton and Aberdeen, and both of those, from what I hear, very good.
Yes, correct. Actually, this, it's called the Brookings Jamboree, and it was on the tennis schedule when I played high school tennis. So we have gone to Brookings for a number of years and played those two teams. Yeah, Aberdeen, Aberdeen has been tough for a number of years, and I think they're going to be really tough this year. They're obviously in ESD, so it'll be good to play them and kind of get that experience. And I feel like when you play against teams that are good, really good, it takes everybody else's game up a notch. So I'm anticipating some good matches. Yankton, they're a strong team, have been for a long time as well. So again, it'll be some tough competition against those ESD schools, but the girls show up to play in those matches. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we do.
Finally, you're a couple weeks in. Feels like you're probably halfway through just as much as you played here already. What have you seen so far? What are the goals? What do you want to see improvements on here as you get down the road there before you know it, ESD and State's here?
Yeah, definitely. So honestly, going up against like the schools that we'll see that are in our class, we have done really well. Rapid City Christian is going to be tough. St. Thomas More is going to be tough, and Sioux Falls Christian are going to be tough. But then we are right there. Like, I really think that we can be in the top four again this year at State, and that's kind of my goal, kind of my expectation for us. I think if we can continue to develop our doubles teams that are a little bit newer this year. Segle and Paw Claire play together, and then Ann Hook and Madeline team up. They just need to spend more time playing with each other, and doubles is a lot of chemistry and getting, you know, to know how you and your partner work on the court together. So we're going to continue to work on that and just kind of those little things throughout the season that come up, injuries and things. And so I think we're moving in the right direction. And now that things slowed down a little bit in our season, we'll really be able to just fine tune things and be ready for ESD and State.
Rachel Carey, head tennis coach here on Tiger Girls. They are in Brookings today, not playing Brookings though. The Brookings Jamboree, they'll get duels in with Aberdeen and Yankton. We'll be back on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We are back on Dakota Sports Saturday. We're talking with Tyann Ulmer, new head coach of the Huron Tiger volleyball team. Tigers open their season, open with their invitational today at the arena. They'll get four matches in, best two out of three. We'll talk about that coming up. First off, though, Ty, just your thoughts on the season heading into it. I know you put a lot of work in the summer, had the JO in the spring, but we also knew this is about as inexperienced a Huron Tiger volleyball team we've had in many years.
Yeah, it's actually been kind of fun to rebuild the team and just get the other girls ready for the level. We do have still a lot of work to go, but we knew that we'd be at the lower end of where we want to be before we get to the higher end.
Well, the first thing is, outside of Hampton Hines, who's been the starting center the last 2 years, you've basically coached these girls at least last year, if not 2 years ago. So this is mainly your JV team plus Hampton.
Yep. We do have couple people that played freshman sophomore, so they are a little fresh, but I think there was like one that I probably didn't coach last year, so I kind of knew what I was getting into and what to expect.
You know, and for instance, Deja Klega, she made a nice run at the beginning of the season, then also helped out during the season, and really she's number two when it comes to experience.
Yeah, she's actually grown since last year, if we can keep her mental health good. So she gets in her head a lot. So if we can just keep that confidence in her head, she'll be actually one of our best hitters.
And another thing, too, is we do have a little size this year, but it's basically all inexperienced.
Yes. Our middles and our right side, they got a little taste this summer at team camps of what it's going to be like for them. So hopefully we can get them quicker and timing better, and hopefully that works out for them.
Now, today it is the Huron Invitational. You'll get four matches in, best two out of three. And part of the Huron Invitational, I think you got two West River schools you won't see otherwise, so that's a good thing. Then a couple of teams you will see again. But the bottom line is these are two out of three, and I imagine you're going to get a lot of girls on the floor just to see where you're at.
Yep. Well, yeah, we have a lot of girls coming in and ready to go if we need them. I'm hoping that we can have good competition, which we will with about three matches that we're going to play that I've seen, and hopefully we can just get out there and go.
And these two out of threes, what's your general opinion of that? I think it's well known. I don't believe too much in the two out of three, but bottom line is it's good where, you know, in this situation, to begin the season, an inexperienced team get four different looks and get a lot of girls on the floor.
Yep, it is going to be different because you have to push those two first sets, and hopefully that you can maintain that play. If it goes three, you just make those first 5 points the way that we want them.
And some of the early season goals, really, is just you need to get out on the floor and play, get out on the floor and grow.
Yep. So we're hoping that whatever we've applied out in the court at practice, that we can apply better, probably, on the court during the games.
Tyann Ulmer, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball, ahead of their season opener here on hosting the Huron Volleyball Invitational. Games will be played on two courts at the arena, one court at the middle school. All of Huron's matches will be on the south court at the arena. They will play Douglas at 9 o'clock, will sit out a match, then play Northwestern at about 11. Sit out another match, play Brookings, and then sit out two matches and wrap up the day with a match against Sturgis. They do start at 9, but then go in a rolling schedule after that. A lot of teams in town to play volleyball today, both middle school and at the arena. More to come here, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. Don't Spill the Beans now has three convenient locations in Huron. In the Fair City Foods parking lot, at their downtown Center Plaza location, and the new one in Coburn's parking lot. Don't Spill the Beans offers specialty coffee and food at all locations, and gifts and decor at their downtown location. Don't Spill the Beans is a proud sponsor of the Huron Tigers and the Tiger Pregame Report. Don't Spill the Beans, three locations in Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Wrap things up on Dakota Sports Saturday. Talk here on Tiger Football with head coach Drew Strand. Tigers opened the season last night. Exciting game. Big comeback comes just short. T area defeats the Huron Tigers 27-26. Huron scored three times in the final 6 minutes, including
13 seconds to go, missed the two-point conversion. Tieria gets the onside kick and picks up the win. But, Drew, you know, and a little time to think about it now, a little discussion there. Kids, you know, we were down 20-0 at halftime, started to come around in the second half. Kids could have hung their heads, gave up, but, boy, once they gave themselves some momentum, all of a sudden it was Tieria on their back heels.
Yep, they definitely went on their heels, you know, that second half. I think our kids really just started just to believe into themselves and found confidence. And, you know, our skill guys, and they started to make plays. Our quarterback started to make some throws, and our O-line did a fantastic job of just, you know, keeping our quarterback clean long enough just for our guys to make some plays on the ball. And our guys did a fantastic job. You know, that whole first half when we came out, Bryce and I looked at each other and we both said, you know, it's us, not them, that's beating us. You know, they had that kick return for the touchdown to start off the game, and that was just us not doing our jobs and playing, you know, sound. And same with their long runs that they had for their touchdowns, was just our guys not playing disciplined enough. And that second half, they really turned it up and decided to, you know, do that assignment football. And, you know, it came out to be an exciting finish.
You know, and just a lot of places we can go. I think I want to start with the O-line, though, because they don't get the credit, but we started five seniors across there, although that's kind of with an asterisk because we had one that really had not played line before this year. But that interior center, the Jackson Reno, your offensive guards with Brian Ramirez, Connor Johnson, those guys have logged a lot of varsity time.
Yep, definitely helps out when you got that experience, you know, on your own line. So those guys did a fantastic job last night. You know, we got to stay hungry and we got to figure out a way to, you know, continue to establish our run game. I know last night we were almost 50-50 run pass, you know, which is where we kind of want to be. But, you know, we just like to see a few more yards on the ground, you know, with our run game stuff where we don't have missed assignments that we had last night on some of those plays. But, you know, hats off to those guys. I decided to get pass happy, you know, there at some points throughout the game, and had coaches that got me back on track of throwing the run game back in, and that's when Cashin, you know, got a couple good runs, and McNeil pulled one ball for a nice run. So, you know, those guys did a fantastic job of keeping our quarterback clean all night, and yeah, you're right. They don't get a lot of credit for what they do, but they're in the trenches all night, and, you know, if you look at the program and just the stats from our guys compared to T guys, you know, we were outsized, but our guys did a good job of staying in there and battling through the whole night.
You know, O-tackles, OK2, and then Liam Davis, unfortunate. OK2 gets injured early second quarter. We'll wait, but it probably doesn't look very good right now. Liam Davis, he had been an 80s number, a wide receiver, basically, and you'd talk to him about going on the line because you needed help there. He finally acquiesced, said, we'll do it this year, and he was a part of a five-guy unit that didn't give up a sack, and we threw the ball 35 times.
Yep, those guys stepped up and did a fantastic job. You know, it's really nice when you can have guys on your line that have experience, and having five guys across the board on your own line that are seniors, it's been very helpful, and it's really nice for a quarterback, you know, that's young coming in that hasn't played a lot of varsity experience to be able to have that experienced line where he can trust them. And, you know, I think that showed where he was able to step in there and make some of those passes and be able to trust those guys up front for him. And those two did a fantastic job, and Liam Davis just not playing line at all ever, and he's always played tight end for us. So, you know, we told him here's an opportunity to get on the field, and he did a fantastic job.
You know, and with Colt McNeil, his first varsity start, now he's been a freshman and a JV quarterback. He's played a lot of quarterback, just not at 7 o'clock on Friday night. I think he maybe took one snap last year from Mason Davis when Mason had to come out for a play. But I thought he just got better as the game went on. I thought the accuracy was a little off in the first half, but boy, he started hitting his targets in the second half. I think you said it. He found the trust with the guys, and of course, C.J. Gainey, Gavin Moding have played a lot of football, and he just knew those guys could go up and get it.
Yep. I mean, we came into this season, even into our fall camp, and, you know, we didn't throw a lot during the summertime just because we wanted to establish our run game and get guys comfortable with that. So, you know, hats off to him and hats off to our skill guys for getting that timing down in such a short notice for those guys. We turned it up in fall camp and started throwing a lot of routes. You know, we got to continue to do those things because we got to stay hungry and want to win. But yeah, he got a lot more comfortable right away. He was kind of running out of the pocket, and then all of a sudden he started to figure out, hey, if I just stay here, I got a little bit more time, and you know, there's times where I'm going to take a hit. And he did a fantastic job of stepping up and taking that hit and allowing his playmakers on the outsides to make the plays, with the O-line being able to hold those guys off long enough to be able to make those plays.
You know, and Cashin Caudill, you mentioned him. You know, he's the main running back this year now. It was such a, you know, he just added such a different look last year with Quinston. Now, you know, Cashin, he's point A to point B. He isn't looking to run around you. He's looking to run through you. Maybe he can show he can run around you sometime. But, you know, you can just see how much power he has.
Yep. I mean, he's turned the corner this year, you know, just that selflessness of him. You know, last night, I know he didn't have a super explosive game, but, you know, his time's going to come where our old line just feels more comfortable, and he's going to hit that hole going 100 miles an hour. And when he does, and if it's open, you know, he's going to break a couple big runs this year, hopefully for us. And he did a fantastic job. You know I threw the ball a lot last night, so he was asked to called on to pick up blitzes and stuff. And, you know, him just as well as the O-line deserves just as much credit for keeping the guys off, because he was able to help pick up those inside linebackers blitzing, or even the outside guy at times. So he did a fantastic job. And, you know, on that fourth down play, we needed a first down going into that fourth down play in the fourth quarter to keep our drive going. And, you know, I called his number, and he was able to make that play and just show that, you know, he's an athletic guy too as well, and he can make plays for us.
Now, defensively, did have some standouts there too. We did give up a lot, probably a few more yards on the ground than what you would have liked, but also we knew that's what T-Area was going to focus on. But, you know, Cashin Caudill, he was in the middle of everything earlier in the game, but then it just seemed like some guys started to gather in. I thought Tyson Fitzer, not Teagan, he graduated. Tyson Fitzer had a great second half. It looked like he just needed a half to get a little confidence there with his first start. You know, just kids like that. They can kind of see how it's going to go now.
Yep. I mean, it's a great team. It's definitely a tough team to open up against, just for, you know, those guys who haven't played a lot of snaps for varsity. But it's a good test for those guys as well, because, you know, I mean, this is one of the better teams you're going to see all year. So if you can compete and hang with these guys now, it really confidence boosted all those guys, you know, defensively too, just being able to compete with a team like T and all the guys that they have and their size. So, you know, I think this is a great confidence booster for our guys. But, you know, we still got to stay hungry, and just because, you know, we didn't come away with that win, we still got to be a little bit bitter about that, because, you know, we could have had that in the end.
You know, and, you know, the one thing that does stand out or stood out for both teams, a lot of penalty markers last night. We had more penalties, but T-Harry had more yards in penalties, well over 200 yards combined, and I'm sure both Scott and Coach Fry, as long as you, that's going to be a focus here when you talk to the boys on Monday.
Yep, I mean, we got to figure out how to clean those things up. We can't be hurting ourselves, especially when we got drives going, and all of a sudden you end up going backwards. I know a couple times offensively we had some false starts and things where we were at second and, you know, middle or second and short, and all of a sudden it ended up second and long because of false starts or things like that. And defensively, I think we gave them a first down on one of our third and mids, and we jumped off sides. So, yeah, definitely got to kind of clean up those things. And just like we said, that first half, it was us that was hurting ourselves, and that's exactly what we were talking about in that first half, where it was our guys either making penalties and not doing their assignments or, you know, things like that. And if we just clean that up, you know, we could have had a couple more scores or a couple more stops.
And as far as injuries, obviously, we already touched on OK2. That's the major one. But other than that, hopefully we came out. You know, and I just, you know, two guys in particular I kind of look at, Holden Haig and Colby Hofer. They both have arms that are barely attached to their body anymore, but they are both out there. They want to play. So hopefully, you know, we'll hope for the best on OK, but I know it didn't look good. And other than that, you know, just first of the game hits, a lot of cramping both sides there in the fourth quarter.
Yep, a lot of cramping. You know, I give our guys a lot of credit, because I told them going into the game, you know, we don't have a lot of guys on our bench to be able to rotate in, and at times I think I was calling for guys who didn't play positions and things like that. So, I mean, yeah, hats off to our guys for continuing to play through that, and we're gonna have to find a way to do that all season long. So hopefully we can just continue to push on. And Colby Hofer and Holden Haig are definitely two guys where we go into the game, especially against T, because I remember last year, you know, we came out with a lot of injuries last year, so I was looking at just trying to stay healthy, you know, because I think this team could be a great group of bunch, and if we could stay healthy coming out of T, you know, we can make a run this season, and we did exactly that. okay. I mean, hopefully there's nothing wrong. It's too serious, and that's the way it sounded when I talked to the trainers last night. Maybe just a little tweak there, so hopefully we get him back sooner than later because he's definitely a good senior to have that's confident on our O-line and able to help out on defense. So the only other guy I was worried about that he had to step on the field because OK got hurt was Hunter Fenske. You know, he dislocated his elbow this summer, and so him and Kobe Hofer are both my Gronk guys with their bionic arms. So, but no, they came out, they played really hard, and, you know, they did a great job of staying healthy the whole night.
Well, now we look ahead. Game one in the books. There's still eight to go, and it's the Watertown Arrows coming in next week, and a steady diet, I'm sure, of Juvon Hudson.
Yep. I mean, we're going to get a good dose of Juvon coming in. He's a powerful running back, so we're going to have to find ways to stop him, and we're going to have all 11 guys to the ball just because, I mean, when he gets the ball, usually he makes at least one guy miss, so we're going to have to fly around and hopefully hold him.
And one game does not a season make. Kids showed a lot of heart. Down 20-0 at halftime, had a chance to win it at the end. So now the next thing is make that next step.
Yep, that's what we got to preach this week, you know, in practice is, you know, our guys now know that they have the confidence and they know they have the ability, but, you know, we can't be content with just how we play T. We got to find a way to win those games, and we got to find a way to come out, you know, strong like we started the second half against T. There's a lot of positives take away from T, but, you know, in the end of things, we never won that game, you know, so we kind of got to hang that up as a loss for us. So we got to come out this week and stay hungry, and we can't just be satisfied with that, you know, how we played, because in the end, we didn't win, and we got to be hungry for the wins.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tough loss to open the season last night. Tigers rally, come a two-point conversion short, and fall to the T-Area Titans 27-26. Here on, will host Watertown. Again, a reminder, next Friday, Watertown at Huron, earlier start time, 6 o'clock kickoff on Tiger 95. Coming up, we have Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Time now for the Top 5 Countdown. From the dusty old rodeo trail, here's your host, Monty James.
Monty James blasting out from the heart of America's top cow-calf country. You know, I live a somewhat nomadic life, drifting back and forth between Nebraska, Iowa, and the Dakotas. Here in the heartland, we hear the national media yakking about East Coast hurricanes, Hollywood Hills fires, and mudslides on the West Coast, but they don't often wander into the pastures or cornfields in my neck of the woods, where we saw a heat index of 134 this past week in Lawrence, Kansas. Whoa! Tip of the hat to all the hardworking folks riding pins, checking pastures, and farming in these conditions. Good news is it'll be 40 below with blinding snow before you know it. This week's TFC on the other side.
Purple Wave Auction understands that it takes the right equipment to maximize profits in the field. That equipment is up for auction every week at purplewave.com. Bid on hundreds of items from John Deere, Kubota, Case IH, and more. Our marketplace transparency makes bidding on those tractors, balers, and sprayers safe and easy. Equipment